Welcome in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump
day.
Hey.
Hump day.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? I'm all good over here. And almost fell up my damn chair.
Poked yourself in the
poked
eye and almost fell out of your chair.
Almost fell up my damn chair.
Like you're a one-man, three stooge.
Hell yeah. But it's all good, though, man. Yeah, but on this Wednesday, halfway to the weekend, it's going to be another nice weekend. Just saw that. And so it's a lot of grilling, drinking, and pooling, and all that other good stuff. But, it was, like they were saying, had outstanding time yesterday. And just being around the kids and being around the Falcons rookies and everything like that. But and being in a very nice studio. Our studio is very nice.
Also very nice.
Yeah, but that one was just different.
It's just newer,
newer and all that other stuff, man. Yes, I don't want to throw no shade at it.
No shade.
Don't throw no shade.
This studio also very nice.
Yeah, it's very, very, very rich.
But that one was good, too.
Yeah. A lot of
not comparing.
No, never that.
Not to compare.
We're not on TV right now or anything like where we were yesterday?
Mm-mm. That was a little distracting. It was cool.
Did you keep looking at yourself?
Well, I kept like, oh, my stand-ups. I didn't realize how bad my posture was all the time. I'm sitting over here like this, all slumped over.
Oh, me too.
Like, put your shoulders back.
I have a bad habit of leaning back in chairs.
I didn't realize that I just kind of sat like that all the time.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I have a bad habit
of your shoulders back. Let them know. Be proud.
Of leaning in chairs, yeah. But I mean, we're talking. It's not that, I hate to generalize a broader people with just a couple of fools. You know, I'm serious.
Because, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because I know a lot of people.
But I think sometimes it's okay.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want, because that was the thing everybody was like, that's New Yorkers for you. Well, not necessarily. That's the idiots for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I hate to generalize a whole fan base too.
I agree because it's bigger than New York. There's idiots everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're just straight up damn idiots. If that would have happened in Charlotte, we were like, they're just two damn idiots.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have been surprised because I know some of the what we're talking about is what happened in the World Series game last night. Mookie Betts goes down the right field line to make a catch of a foul ball. Two very, very dumb Yankees fans decided that they wanted to try to take the ball out of his mitt. They did. They got it out of his mitt. And if you haven't seen the video, you should go watch it because it's almost like when I saw it, I didn't see it live. I didn't get a chance to tune into the game until midway through. But I opened up Twitter and saw the video. I thought it was a fake video.
Right.
I was like, oh, wow, man, AI's gone too far this time.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Yeah.
But in fact, it was real. And it unfortunately, my reaction was, damn, that's crazy. I'm not surprised. Like the behavior in stadiums these days, whether it's people fighting or it's other stuff,
it's bad.
It's so bad. It's so crazy. It's just idiots. And so much of it is idiots being encouraged to be idiots.
Yes.
I'm glad it wasn't worse than it was because I think Mookie would have been well within his rights to swing on one of those guys.
Yes.
And had he, then he'd be in trouble.
Yes.
Today. So I'm glad he didn't, but I'm also partially not glad that he didn't because those guys deserved to be punched in the nose.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't come to your workplace and physically touch you.
Or even come to your workplace.
Or you come to your workplace. I don't curse at you and all those different things. So that's why, and a lot of athletes say it all the time. Like, you can deal with fans booing and all that, everything. That's cool. But don't come in to my workplace and be openly disrespectful, especially with the touching part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't be the touching part. And that's why I thought when he grabbed him and the other dude grabbed his hand, I was like, what the hell are y'all doing? Like, I got so mad about it because I'm like, first of all, why are you doing that? Like, because they're two drunk idiots. There's plenty of drunk people there that don't do stuff like that.
That's not even what it was. Like, the justifications for it are better than the actual reality of what they did. The reason they did that, some ESPN reporter tracked them down and interviewed them, which I have a problem with also. Like, let's not glorify this behavior.
Yes.
Let's not, like, make them think they're celebrities now.
Yep.
Because the reason they did it and how they're going to feel even more when you go track them down and write an ESPN article about them is because they think they're on the team.
Yes.
They think they're on the
team. We are there.
Because they bought a dumb hat, and they're season ticket holders, and they're sitting there, and they've probably been encouraged in a variety of different ways that they misinterpreted because they're idiots to think that they are that because they interviewed them, and they said, we've been planning this.
Yes.
If the ball comes in our area, we're going to D up. That's what they said.
He
like,
said
they're
D
on
up.
The team. What?
What an it. That's what I'm saying. Like, do you – I don't think they do. I was going to say, do you
they know don't.
How dumb you sound?
They don't. Because you know what idiots don't realize they are?
Idiots.
Idiots. Hey. They're so, and here's the other part of it. I was thinking about this driving in too. And like not to be like overly empathetic, because I'm trying to just be critical. I guess I can't help it sometimes. They think what they did was the right thing to do.
Yes.
That's the problem.
They won,
like,
and especially because they won too?
Right.
Oh, that was the rally.
That's the thing.
Oh, yeah, that was the rally
right
there.
That's the thing.
That was the spirit.
If it so happens that the Yankees come back and win this World Series, which I pray doesn't happen for a million reasons, those two, whatever you want to call them, become this, like, this thing that they already thought that they were.
Right.
They're going to get propelled to this level of fan fame that shouldn't exist.
Right.
But will, even more so, and that bad behavior that they don't even see as bad behavior, they think that they're like their heroes, is going to get treated that way, and it's just going to be self-perpetuating. It's just like the people throwing stuff on the field at the Texas game.
Yep.
By overturning the call, you encourage idiots to be idiots.
Because I know everybody who threw a bottle on the field at that for that play to be overturned, which, I mean, it was the right call, but I'm sorry. Know what I'm saying.
I know.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, so, you know, Henry and Alpha Chi Vaveda, you know, he's over there like, hey, bro, you saw that? I was one of them. That's one of my bottles over there.
Yeah, you saw that Dasani? That Dasani bottle down there? That was me.
That was me right there.
I was the one that got the call overturned.
Yeah. That was me, bro. Yeah, man. But yeah. I just struck a nerve last night.
Can you tell?
I just struck a nerve last night. Like, the audacity of your dumbass to reach and grab this man's glove and then yanking his glove. Then your partner grab his arm. Why were you grabbing his arm?
It was a tag team situation.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what did you? Okay.
Again, that was, and I hate that I know this because I read the article and they had quotes in it from these two people. That was their plan. One guy was going to deal with the crowd and one guy was going to deal with the ball. And then when he got the ball, he's like, all right, I'm going to help my guy out. Like, they had this is a situation in a scenario that these two guys, these two fans, had talked about. Like, if this ever happens to us, because they said that they're season ticket holders.
Yeah.
And that's the back end worst part of it. The Yankees aren't going to do anything about it. They're going to be right back in those same seats in game five. And if the ball comes over to there, again, they're going to do the same thing.
No.
Nothing will be learned.
No.
They have to ban them. They have to ban them. But they won't ban them. You know why? Because there's two things that matter in sports.
Yeah. What's that?
Winning and money.
Yeah, but that's
what I'm
saying.
They won the game, like, and those guys pay a lot of money to sit there.
But I'm sure that they can find somebody else to sit there.
Probably.
Yeah. It's the freaking Yankees.
Probably.
Yeah.
But those guys have spent X amount of dollars over how many years to be there.
Yeah.
So they get X amount of leeway to be jerks in the stadium.
I'm sure they could find somebody else to buy them tickets.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Because they have an opportunity to prove that.
Yeah.
They have an opportunity to prove that. Because if they say you guys can't come to the game tomorrow night,
the Yankees have not technically said that they can come.
They were told on the way out of the stadium that they could come back for the next game.
They said that. Yankees have not said that they can come back.
Well, they have an opportunity to do the right thing.
The Yankees organization has not
said they have an opportunity to do the right thing and not let those guys back in the stadium, but I bet they won't.
Well,
I bet they won't. I bet they'll be right there front and center.
Yeah.
Just being encouraged.
Eating cutlet sandwiches.
We're overrun with dumbasses, all right?
Yes,
we know that.
Yes.
There's plenty of them, right?
Yes.
Like, whoever you think of as average intelligence, just think half the people are less smart than them. Like, okay?
Yeah.
That's how it works, right? Just the most average intelligent person you know.
Yeah.
Half the people are dumber than that. Like, there's dumbasses, all right?
Yes.
What we don't need is to be feeding them.
Yes.
Giving them fertilizer and sunlight.
Oh, he got to come
and
back.
And encouraging their dumbassery to grow.
Let's see, what can I do? I'll get a red light, and when Freddie's back up, I'll point it in his face so I can distract
him. Yeah, and that's not even to bring up the Yankee fan that yelled that Freddie sucked during the silent moment for cancer when Freddie had his sign up for his mom, who died of cancer.
And
so that was cool. Just a good moment last night, all around.
Yeah.
Just beautiful behavior.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not trying to single out and say, "Well, that's Yankee fans."
No,
it really isn't.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because that's what first thing I didn't want to do was like, "Damn, New York or Yankee." I'm not going to do that
because that could have happened in any stadium, anywhere, in any sport. And that's what sucks about it is you think you buy a ticket to a thing and you can go in there and act any way you want to.
And they did.
Don't be smarter than that. You know what I mean? They had a plan. We got a D up.
And you look at it, they probably thought that was fate.
Yeah, we were selected.
That was fate.
We were selected by the left hand of the Bambino.
There it is.
The Bambino hand selected us.
Who played in that corner? Did Roger Maris play there?
Sure.
Okay. Whoever the legendary outfielder was, he led us to that.
Roger Maris.
Roger Maris.
The golden arm of Roger Maris hand-selected us to spur the Yankees to victory.
Yes.
God, I hope they don't come back and win. Those guys are going to have statues for those guys.
Hell yeah. Hopefully they don't look like them.
Because you said Dwayne Wade one. It kind of looked like the guy's face.
Dwayne said it was art.
When the guy was prying the ball from Mookie Betts' glove, he kind of looked like the Dwayne Wade statue a little bit. With a few extra pounds.
No, some of the memes for that is pretty funny.
All right.
It does. It does look like when you're trying to get a toy or something out of the dog's mouth.
This is what it looked like.
Just like that.
Trying to get that battery from your toddler before he puts it in his mouth. Jack, no!
Exactly what it looked like.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll tell you what's trending coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A 100%, Torrey. You know, that was probably his cleanest game as a quarterback as an Atlanta Falcon. You know, and I know it's hard to say when he threw for 500 yards one week, but you know how I feel about stats. But yesterday, as far as being clean, as far as throwing the ball exactly where it needs to go, being able to exhaust his progressions, feeling really comfortable, being decisive, doing all the different things that Kurt does well. He actually ran the ball yesterday. I was really pleased with our quarterback play yesterday, and You can see the confidence in our offense when he's playing that way and the style of play that we want to play. And it's been a division, you know, we were lucky enough to go out there and sign him.
Agreed. Kirk Cousins was very good on Sunday. Cleanest game he's played. Still probably the first game against Tampa just from a stat standpoint. Maybe it was his best. I don't know. Sunday might have been his best game. We're picking between two Tampa games, too, exactly. By the way. Kills those guys.
He works. He
owns them.
He owns Tampa.
Owns Tampa.
Yes,
which is great. Touchdowns? Yeah,
8 touchdowns
and like 800 yards. Yeah.
And two wins. The biggest thing.
Two wins. Important thing. Two wins. 4-0 in the division. Like we talked a lot about yesterday and Monday, and all good stuff. The most important thing is just the offense week over week outside of the Seattle game. Hopefully that proves more and more to be an outlier. The offense just looking more in rhythm. And in sync, because obviously that's the identity of the team right now. That also makes sense as the season goes on. Like, the better that unit gets, and they seem to be getting better week over week, the better this team is, and that's why they're 5-3 right now and in a really good spot.
Well, yeah, I mean, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, this is an offensively driven team.
You know that.
And in order for this team to get to where they want to go, this offense has to carry. Now, the defense got to do something. You know, I mean, you can't in the NFL. You don't want 35 every damn weekend.
No.
You know, because you got to figure out a way. Because sometimes Kirk is not going to play as clean.
Yeah, sometimes there's just a little off, and you have some turnovers like they did against Seattle.
And sometimes those things happen. And if you complementary football, you know, at a 60-40, you know, clip, it's hard to win this league. Like you'll look up and you'll beat some teams that are equal to you or better than. I'm sorry, you're equal to or better than. You know, with that kind of philosophy, which they have been doing, kinda, because they lost to Seattle, who I think they're better than.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you asked the question yesterday about who do you believe and trust in the NFC. The teams that we talked about, I don't think they can beat them that way. I don't think you can beat Detroit without being able to. Now, Detroit's defense isn't all that. They're not great. And then you look at San Fran. We know what San Fran is. You know,
they're coming
if they get 23 back.
Yeah, they're coming.
When they get 23 back, they're gonna be a problem because. Believe it or not, Brock Purdy's played really damn good this year.
He has.
He's played really good this year. Now, I know they lost Brandon Ayuk for the season, but the young man who got shot, Pearsall. He looked good last week also. And so, I mean, the biggest thing with them is their health. That's always San Francisco's thing, is health. Debo got hurt again.
It is. I know. Now he got hurt. Like, before he had pneumonia.
Yeah.
It's just like, he's the least lucky player in the league as far as health goes.
Yeah, man.
Because sometimes it's sickness, sometimes it's injury, and sometimes it's both. But San Francisco has the track record of, as long as there's that light at the end of the tunnel of health, Shanahan teams always get better in the second half of the season. They're always playing their best ball in December. It even adds to that, like we said, with McCaffrey likely coming back after the bye. Like, it's pretty easy to look at them in that division as well and be like, yeah, they'll be all right.
Yeah.
They'll be all right. They're going to probably come out of that division. And obviously Detroit and other teams that are kind of at the top of the NFC, you're going to have to find a way, because the recipe so far has been offense does what it does. Kirk can pass the ball. They're getting Pitts more involved. He's been very good the last 4 weeks. And then playmakers like Bates or AJ or whoever on defense will make a play, and that'll sort of help you I don't want to say steal the game, but that's sort of your defensive game plan.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing it consistently.
That's the biggest thing.
You're not doing it the way you'd like to by winning the line of scrimmage and just being stout on defense. You're doing it by having really good players on the back end that step up and make big plays.
And that's great, you know, because the thing is that they're making plays and they're not getting what they need from the front.
Right.
To, you know, to allow them to make more plays and allow them not have to cover as long and cover as deep routes. Because teams are able to make explosive plays, whether you want to call them 15 or more, 20 or more plays on them in the passing game, is because there's no rush.
Mm-hmm.
And then with there's no rush in the way they're playing defense with this high two safeties, there's holes.
Yeah.
There's holes. There's big holes in these zones. And when you talk about throwing those routes, those 15-plus yard routes down the field, you got to have time as a quarterback because it's a longer developing route. And as a cornerback, DB, whatever, it's hard to cover all that space. It's just like right. It's like 7-on-7.
Yep.
You know, it's hard to cover all day in 7-on-7. Yep. You know, when you sit there and when a quarterback on a 7-step drop, whatever drop you want to call it, and the routes are 10-plus yards and they're patting the ball going through their progression, that means they're not getting pressure.
Right. Good thing a lot of these guys grew up playing 7-on-7.
Yeah.
Because it kind of feels like that out there
exactly.
on Sundays sometimes. I saw a stat earlier this week that it's not that surprising, but still sucks. I think we know because it's this year. Falcons are worse in the NFL at sacking the quarterback this year. They went back 5 years. Falcons have the least sacks in the NFL the last 5 years.
Yeah.
They went back 15 years. Falcons have the least sacks in the NFL the last 15 seasons combined. And when they went back to the year 2000, the only reason the Falcons aren't last, they're second to last, is because the Texans didn't start playing NFL football until 2002.
Yeah.
So
unbelievable.
We're not making it up.
Unbelievable.
It really has been a generation and a half of ineptitude at getting into
the
quarterback.
I played.
That's before you got in the league.
No, yeah, it is. But when you said 2002, I was like, Texas. Yeah, we played the Texans their first home game. Yeah,
so
we played against Texas in their first ever home game.
Had they played those other two seasons and averaged the amount of sacks that they've averaged since then they wouldn't be last.
Yeah, but, you know.
25 years.
It is what it is, dog.
It is what it is. Not only is what it is, it is what it's been.
Because the thing about it, they put resources into it as far as the position title. And about the players themselves.
Yeah, right.
They've drafted defensive ends. They've signed.
Yeah. Signed them. Free agents.
We still can't believe that. I said, oh, my God. I remember we were working and we started offseason conditioning. And when they signed Ray Edwards, we were all like, who? They gave that dude all that money. Talking about the dude from Minnesota that we were housing his ass. And okay. Like, folks couldn't believe that the Falcons gave him all that bread.
That was just, like, if you were feeling crazy, you know? Because if you say the same thing over and over again, you're like, dang, am I going nuts? You're not.
Yeah.
You've been complaining about it for 25 years for good reason.
Yes.
Because that's what it's been.
Yes.
Just know you're all right if that's what you think. They're not. Hopefully they'll get better at it. There's a trade deadline in a week or so. Maybe they'll address it. But, you're right. That has been the case. Here's Kirby Smart talking about Trevor Etienne, who's playing his former team on Saturday.
Yeah, focus on the task. It's not a chance. You don't want to get caught up in emotions and be emotional. I don't think that helps any. You know, Dobbs
gone through it
with Missouri a couple times, and you know, different players. That's part of college football now. You know, it's we've had kids go down there, so we don't get caught up in it much. I mean, at the end of the day, what's going to make you play well? It ain't worrying about that.
Well, speaking of that game, our sources have informed us.
Yeah.
That 27.
Yep.
In 26, it will be played in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz.
Okay.
And then in 27, it will be played at Tampa.
Okay.
Okay. So I still hate that. Why can't they just play home and home?
I was going to say, don't those two teams do have
they
home
do have stadiums? Yes.
Right?
Why don't they just play at home and home?
Great news for Mercedes-Benz, though.
Yeah.
Add another one
to the list.
Georgia's going to play there a lot.
Yes.
Because they're playing Tech there, right?
Yes.
As Tech is renovating their stadium.
Yes, they are.
Now they're going to play Florida there as well. Now, the good news, if there is any, I guess, it would be cool if those games were played on campus. They're treated like on campus, so you can have recruits at Mercedes-Benz.
Yes.
So,
but I'm still refreshed. But, I mean, last time Florida went to Athens, I mean, Chris Doran, I think he scored 18 touchdowns.
Wouldn't it be nice to erase that?
Yeah.
So the last time, because if they were coming to Athens like Saturday, you'd get to erase a lot of that. Because Saturday's not going to go like that.
Yeah, man.
I don't think.
I think it's going to be a competitive game. I think that coach has like kind of found his guys. You know, I'm talking about
Billy Napier.
Yeah, I think he kind of found his guys. He still has a very young quarterback who was uber talented.
Yeah, very athletic.
Very athletic. Game breaker. Very and that's what's giving Georgia problems in the end. I mean, in the past and everything like that. But I just think that, you know, Georgia, because we talked about it before I had left. I remember that Thursday when we were talking about where's 11 and where's 13? Mm-hmm. Where's these game breakers? Because if Georgia defense played like they played Texas, they're winning championship.
Yep.
Yeah, they're going to win the championship.
Yep.
But this is about 15 and them damn receivers. Catch the freaking ball. I saw that they're number two in the conference, I think it is, in like pass plays over 20 yards. They would be number one in the country if these dudes caught the damn ball.
It's true.
If they caught the damn ball, we'd be number one in the country.
Because they're top two in the country in terms of yards lost via drop.
Yes.
We've been saying that for weeks, and it hasn't gotten better.
Yes.
It actually got worse. I mean, that Texas game was one of the worst games in terms of drops.
And they still won by double digits.
And they still won by double digits on the road.
With all them drops and Carson throwing three picks.
This is what's crazy about Georgia to me right now is they're so talented and they played so well against Texas that all of that stuff went wrong, like you said, and they still beat the number one team on the road by double digits.
Yes.
By two touchdowns, actually. The run game hasn't been anything either. I think they're second to last in the SEC in terms of rushing yards per game, which is crazy in the Kirby Smart era. So the rushing game hasn't really gotten going yet. Carson and his receivers don't have great chemistry yet. If that, and I know it's you know, the season's seven games in, so like saying if that ever happens, maybe it will. If that ever happens,
it's a damn wrap.
Good luck.
It's a wrap.
To be number two, 6-1, and the wins they have, given all of that stuff, is outrageous.
It's a wrap. If all that comes together, I know I saw Kirby said, I think it's in on Monday, is basically saying, I would like, we haven't played a complete game.
Not even close.
Not even, and it's not, and not about it, it's not even close to playing a complete, they have not done it yet this season. And you keep sitting back, and that's the thing about it is, eventually it's going to catch up to you. You know what I mean? Eventually,
it did catch up to him.
And you could come back from that getting caught up with until it was too late. Then, like Kirby said, we ran out of time, we ran out of moments.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they had five more minutes in that game, they probably would have won. They probably would have won. Maybe.
I don't know. Carson threw that pick.
But I'm saying, like, this team, like, they have got to make the routine be routine.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the biggest thing. Make the routine be routine. And they don't do that enough. Mm-hmm. It's like, damn, catch the ball.
It's right there.
Right there.
It's 3rd and 10. It's a great pass. It's first down if you catch it.
Yep.
Drive gets rolling. Then they can start working the play action.
And then they can start running the ball, maybe.
Get Etienne involved. And Etienne had a nice game against Texas for sure. I mean, one thing, I know it's going to be played up a little bit just because it's true. He played for Florida the last couple of years. Like, you talk about a guy who's handled that perfectly and doesn't care about it.
He doesn't.
Like, left on great terms, still friends with everybody down there because that's this generation, that's this era.
Yeah.
There's like, it'll be talked about. That's the most nothing story of this matchup.
Yeah.
Is that Etienne was on that team last year.
Well, they have one of our guys. They got one of our guys down there.
Probably.
Yeah,
every team does.
Yeah.
Every team does.
Who cares about that?
The bigger one is you got Rashad is still out there suing Napier, isn't he?
Is he still suing him?
I think it's ongoing.
You think they speak?
You know, these court proceedings through lawyers.
Yeah, you think when he's down there. Cause he, did he show up at Florida?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, did he ever actually go on campus and work out with the guys or something like that?
Is he the – probably not. There's probably other guys. But, like, is there a guy we've talked more about who we've seen do less ever than him?
Yeah.
I think Jamie Newman is probably the number one guy.
You remember that?
Remember Jamie Newman?
Jamie Newman?
The Jamie Newman story is one of the most interesting stories.
I mean, you got this grad transfer, dual threat guy coming from Wake Forest and all this crap. How long he made there? A week?
Didn't play.
I know, but I'm saying, how long was he at Georgia before he left?
No clue.
Yeah.
No clue. What if he wouldn't have left?
I don't know.
Where would Stetson be?
Yeah.
What would have happened?
I don't know, because, like, what if Dewan Mathis don't throw out of bounds on fourth down?
What if, man?
Here we go.
I love the what. Maybe we used to do a segment called What If.
Yeah.
We'll bring it back some summer.
Out of bounds on fourth damn down.
It wasn't good.
No. I'm sorry. He ran out of bounds.
He wasn't ready.
He ran out of bounds.
He wasn't ready. All right. Dave Archer's always ready. Whether it's a situation like that or to join us at 11:40 on Wednesdays, whatever it is. Arch will join us next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Long time coming. All right. It has been. Yeah, long time since a Falcon Spurs has been laying on a quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this is the week. You can sack Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
I think 19 sacks this year.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. They'll do it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Wednesday morning, this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. NFL no huddle about 20 minutes away from right now, but 11:40 on Wednesdays means Dave Archer joins the show. Arch, how are you?
We're going to call him Composure Dave.
Fellas, good to be with you. Good to know that, you know, Randy, you know, he when he goes on vacation, it centers around the Georgia bye week, which is kind of interesting.
She knew that. I don't book that today. She knew that. She knew.
I think that's the definition of a damn good dog.
Yeah, right, man. Yeah, she know the deal and everything like that. But we call you Composure Day because I was leaving my little man's football game when the whole Kyle Pitts thing happened. And for your that's like three games in a row, Dave. Your composure when you're calling games, because you want to say
they're testing you.
You want to say everything we want to say, Dave. But you, but
what is it, Randy?
I don't know.
The guys want to do the little flip of the ball right at the goal line.
I don't know. I don't understand it. It happened. It happened at Iowa State.
It did. Yeah, yeah. The Iowa State game a couple weeks ago.
We got lucky. Well, they ended up getting the ball at the 2 yard line anyway, so it ended up being a kind of pick six anyway. But I don't get it. I just run in the end zone. Show that you got the ball. I mean, I thought Raheem said it best. He says, hey, that's an indication that you haven't scored multi touchdowns in a game when you start doing that kind of stuff.
Which is true. It was his first multiple touchdown game, hopefully, first of many. Fair to say, though, probably the last time you see Kyle Pitts do something like that at the goal line, like a learning opportunity potentially.
No question about it. I talked to him after the game. He said it was very much a learning experience, and he told me he was our guest on the coach's show on Monday, and he reiterated that. And I think that Raheem pounded that idea through when they were sitting on the bench right after he did it.
Hey, Dave, what have they been doing lately to get him more involved early on?
I think it's just a matter of Kyle wanting to be aggressive, Randy. I mean, you know, you saw in the touchdown, the first touchdown he catches on fourth down there after that great play by Jesse Bates early in the game, get the ball out, get that short field opportunity. They're in a bunch look. He's got a DB right on him trying to jam him, keep him off the ball. He's, you know, ragdolls the guy to the ground and gets to the corner and gets himself open. I just think that there's a little bit more want to in him. And you're right. If you go look at the last four games, his numbers are way up compared to his four games. I just think he wants to be involved. He realizes it's a pretty good team, and he wants to be involved, be a part of it.
What I mean, obviously, you're calling the games. You're in there and watching, getting ready for him, and afterwards as well. But from the matchup that Tampa presents, what has made Kirk so good against that defense? Because he was incredible both times out.
Yeah, I think he's got a really good feel for some of the pre-snap stuff they're doing. So whenever you can get a pretty good idea of what teams are going to try to do, then you're not having to sift through and figure it out. You know, pre-snap look gives you an idea of what's happening, and then you try to confirm it in your first couple of steps in your drop, and then either you got to change your mind as to what you thought you saw or you confirm it. I think he's confirming stuff with all the ball snap with those guys. I think that, and that's part of what's going on down there. I think Tampa's in a real dilemma down there because they're not playing the kind of defense they're used to playing. I think it's part of it because they don't have, you know, guys that are making plays for them like Atlanta has on their defensive side. But he just gets in his zone. It's been fun to watch him.
Hey, Dave, I said this on Monday, and I know you watch him, you're close and everything like that. Was that the best game A.J. Terrell's played? Because I thought, Dave, the way he tackled, obviously the interception, just being forced in the run, everything like that. I just really – because I didn't get a chance to see the Seattle game until the next day. And we know D.K. Metcalf gives everybody problems. But as far as his play on Sunday, what did you think about that?
Well, as you know, he's drawing – for the most part, he's drawing that tough assignment. You mentioned D.K. Metcalf. He's drawing guys throughout, you know, when you start thinking about the best receiver on each team. So – but I do think it continues to get better. It's always easy to say it was his better game because he had an interception in it, right? So, but to have a play, make a play like that, and the way he did it, I mean, I know, Randy, you probably saw it, but they played two invert, which sends him back to the half safety position, and he read it like a safety and broke on the play down the sideline. Actually baited Baker into that throw down the sideline and makes the play. He's had some good games, and I think he's always been pretty physical for his size at corner. But when you sprinkle in the fact that he stole one, you know, I think that probably shoves it near the top.
Yeah, he had that play. Obviously had a big hit right before that as well. Jesse Bates continues to create turnovers, whether it's with punching the ball out or intercepting it. And we've seen this defense capable of making those big plays and taking the ball away. We're halfway through the season. Like I don't know that this is if it's a blip. Do you think that this is something that we can count on with this defense? Obviously, the pass rush hasn't been what you want, but in terms of being able to take the ball away?
Well, I think that's what these guys are. I think that, you know, Jesse certainly is that. You talked about guys that Tampa doesn't want to see again. You know, Jesse Bates in two games this season has 16 tackles, 3 forced fumbles, and interception.
Damn.
I'm pretty sure they don't want to see Jesse Bates again.
Damn.
You know, so Darnell Mooney's, or he's got like 17 grabs for 250 yards or 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. They don't want to see Darnell Mooney anymore. You know, I'm pretty sure they don't want to see Atlanta, period, again. You know, but I think that you'd like to think they're going to continue to come, Andy. The takeaways, I think that Jesse has a knack for punching the ball out. You saw Nate Landman punch the ball out. I don't know if you remember Baker Mayfield on a quarterback sneak gets the ball punched out by Landman. So guys are starting to kind of pick up on the idea that, hey, we can change the game because of those things. And frankly, because you haven't been able to get to put quarterback on the ground, you're going to need to continue to do that. You know, if you're not going to sack the quarterback, and I know you guys have been talking about the numbers, and they're certainly anemic this year with only, 5 or 6 sacks this year. Yeah. I mean, they had 40 or 42 sacks last year.
Yeah.
So, and that put them somewhere in that, you know, middle part of the – maybe just out of the middle part. You know, the Super Bowl team only had, 37 sacks, I think. They were like 16th or 17th, 18th in the league in sacks. And New England was the same that year. Both those teams went to the Super Bowl. So, you don't have to sack the quarterback at a high level like we've seen. You know, Kansas City has been unbelievable sacking the quarterback the last couple of years, and it's helped propel them to the Super Bowl. But if you're an offensive team like this one is, and you can get timely plays like you're talking about, Andy, then I think that, you know, you don't necessarily have to depend on getting the ball, getting the quarterback on the ground 50 times.
Dave, have you heard anything about Troy Anderson or anything and how he's progressing towards it? And I was going to ask you a question. Do you sense that they miss his presence in the middle of that defense?
I think anytime you've got a guy that's as big and as athletic as he is, you know, he's a starter for a reason, Randy. I think that you miss the guy. And it just so happened that the game that, you know, he goes out on, he has 16 tackles. So you can't help but miss something like that, right?
Yeah.
His sideline-to-sideline ability, and then his ability from a size standpoint. We've got a couple linebackers that are smallish. We've got a couple linebackers that are kind of medium-sized. And Troy's at 245 pounds. So you start talking about stacking up the run game. That's a big body in there that can help provide roadblocks. But he was pretty close last week, it seemed like, to getting on the field. They declared him inactive last week. So I think he's probably going to be pretty close to playing in this one.
Yeah, Raheem, I guess just Josh Kendall just tweeted out that sounds like Troy Anderson might get back this week, sounding more positive about that. Not looking great, quote, for Ruka Roro. So unlikely that he'll play. What about some of the other young guys? Maybe this is fresh on the mind because we spent the day with a lot of the rookie class yesterday. But what do you think it's going to take for some of those other young guys, specifically on the defensive line, Dorless? I know Roro got out there, but to get a little bit of playing time.
Well, Roro is a guy that showed up in training camp, too, and we kind of was a little bit surprised that they, you know, they went with the veteran Street over Roro when it came to being active on game day. But Roop continued to improve during practice. He was causing problems in practice with being stout. Dorless is a little bit different guy. Dorless is a quicker twitch guy. He's not a, you know, Roop is one of those kind of guys playing a 3 or can slide to a 1 technique. He can swell up and he can swallow guys. If you play him one-on-one, he's powerful. Dorless seems to be a little bit more of a 3 or slide him out to a 5 technique, and I know I'm getting too technical probably here. Randy can go through this, but he's a little bit a twitchier guy, maybe not quite as tough at the point of attack. And you're talking about stopping the run, that probably is not what you're looking for, you know, when you start trying to. And I would imagine that Dorless is going to get a good look this week because of Rook, and Rook's not going to be able to go. And Catavius Street may come back up off the inactive as well. So that's probably what they're kind of debating right now, Randy.
Dave, they got the guys with the stars on the helmets coming in. Tell us a little bit about them. I mean, obviously, everybody knows who the headliners are, Dak and CeeDee and those boys. But, I mean, is it all about just finding a way to slow down CeeDee and you got them? Because, from what you look, they can't stop the run. They can't run the football.
Yeah, it's crazy that they can't run it and they can't stop it. And a lot of it has to do with the people that are out unit for him defensively. Obviously, their two edge guys, DeMarcus Lawrence and Michael Parsons, have not been able to play. Now, there's a chance, much like you were talking about Troy Anderson being able to play, Michael Parsons was pretty close last week to playing. So there's a good chance that he might be available for him. And frankly, if I'm Mike McCarthy, I go up to him and say, listen, dude, we don't have any more time to wait. You're going to have to come back if you're only 85%. We need you on the field. And that may be what happens here. But if you go back and you look, and I kind of compare this to the Rams organization. The Rams played Dallas last year, and Dallas ran them off the field. And, of course, Dak was second in the league in MVP voting last year. But he threw for over 300 yards and four touchdowns in that game. CeeDee Lamb had 12 grabs for 160 yards and two touchdowns, and Parsons had two sacks in that game. Now, you're going to be playing against Zach Robinson's offense, which is very similar to that Ram offense. Now, different personnel, obviously. And you're going to be playing against that Dallas, they're going to be playing against our defense, which is, you know, very similar to what they run out there in L.A. So if that gives you any kind of warning sign, it should, because they're certainly very capable of ringing you up if you're not careful.
Great stuff, Arch.
Appreciate it,
as
Dave.
Always. Thank you.
All right, fellas. See you.
Dave Archer there, Atlanta Falcons analyst, former quarterback, radio call. You can hear him on the call on Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I didn't realize Parsons was that close.
Yeah.
Just one more week.
Yeah. Make sure as hell.
Yeah. Man. Just be careful.
But like Dave said, man, they're playing for their season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's on the brink right now.
Yeah, they're playing for their damn season.
No doubt.
Like, if DeMarcus, can we, like... Yeah, you know, tape it up, and
they got a ton of guys hurt. Yeah, yeah, and you know they might be out of it by the time all those guys get healthy. Yeah. So they are. They're
playing for their. They're playing.
You can't
for their,
fake desperation.
Yeah, they, but they are.
They are.
They're playing for their damn
desperate.
Season. They're.
All right.
Don't let them come in here.
No, no. That's the last thing we need. Wouldn't it feel great to just beat the hell out of the Cowboys?
Hell yeah.
It would feel really good.
Hell yeah.
Really good. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Another name we said yesterday got traded. We got to stop giving these GMs clues over
damn
here.
Damn it.
We didn't need this guy, though. He's good, but they didn't need him. But he got traded.
Damn.
All right. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.